Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart. I'm enjoying a little, my friend Kenny Coleman, Ryan Cecil, they sent me a sample of their rye, and we actually talk a lot about rye this week. With Ian Somerhalder and Paul Wesley. you guys remember last time they came on the show, we talked about Brothers Bond Bourbon, we talked about everything they're working on, we talked about how in-depth they've become. It's not just a celebrity whiskey, how ingrained they've become. I actually recommended some ideas, and for the sake of me feeling better about myself, I'm going to say that they took my suggestion, and they are launching Brothers Bond Cask Strength. My idea, they took my personal advice. You know, we texted each other, and he's like, you know what, Chris, you're right, let's do this. So in May, so this is, I believe this is one of the first interviews you're going to see about the subject. In May, Brothers Bond's launching through Reserve Bar their cask strength offering. There's only going to be about 10,000 bottles, which should be an instant sellout, hands down. And we today we sit down, we talk about everything they've accomplished since the last time we talked, everything they're planning. I mean, we talk about everything they're planning. Not only how many states they're in, where they're going, what's next. Are they going to do more than just cask strength bourbon and 80 proof bourbon? What's next for the brand? They couldn't be nicer guys. I genuinely am thankful that they came on the show again. And of course, you know, let's pay the bills real quick. So my buddy Ryan Cecil and Kenny Coleman from Pursuit United are not sponsored at the show, but let me give a shout out to them. This rye blend is great. I know you can get it on Sealbox. Check it out, sealbox.com. And then, of course, the Prideful Goat, which I actually had a bottle sent to Ian. Didn't know he got it. Turns out he did. We got to drink it today. And, of course, Gregarious Grumps launched. For those who don't know, Gregarious Grump is my independent bottling brand that we do cognacs. We do rums. We've got plans for mezcal and sotol. Basically, if it's an artisan spirit, if it's a delicious spirit, I want to put it in the bottle. It's available across Texas currently, but it's also launching in Louisiana, Florida, and California. And of course, it'll be in another 27 states soon. So all of our own products are available now. If you're in Texas, reach out to Favorite Brands. Have your local liquor store reach out to Favorite Brands. Our cognacs and rums are available now. And of course, so is the Prideful Goat, another one of my babies. So if you're familiar with the concept of terroir and wine, you'll appreciate Mark Rainier's Waterford Single Malt Whiskey from Ireland. Mark is combining his Scotch whiskey and fine wine talents to produce an authentic series of Irish single malts. I always like to start the episode off with this. They are a sponsor, but I'm not required to drink them on camera. I don't have to show them on camera. I actually am just a solid fan. It's a great palate. Warm-up, 100-proof Irish single malt whiskey. Tons of biscuits, dinner rolls. I always give that yeasty kind of a yeasty, biscuity, bready, delicious single malt note that I just love in Waterford. And it was a way to kick the episode off. And then we jumped into the cask strength Brothers Bond bourbon, which I got to tell you, what a difference. What a difference. I was a fan of the 80 proof. The cask strength is... I'll let you see it in the episode. So without further ado, please welcome my guest this week, Paul Wesley, Ian Somerhalder from Brothers Bond Bourbon. Cheers. Paul, Ian, welcome back to the show, guys.
Thank you so much, man. So happy to be here.
Thanks for having us.
I'm excited to catch up. I see we were talking a little bit off camera there. Ian's staying in his 18-wheeler RV over there. That thing's gorgeous, man.
Thanks, man. No, I'm working, you know, I work in here with Paul a lot. We do all of our Zooms and stuff from in here because I want to speak very impassioned And it's all just about liquor and it's about bourbon. So I don't want my daughter walking in and only hearing her dad talk about alcohol.
Yeah. I actually, you mentioned that before we started recording, it's a bit of an office away from the kids. I've got four myself, so I can get it.
You're a busy man.
It's, you know, and two of them are teenagers. They're quite the fans of you guys, actually.
Woo, buddy.
How old are they?
15 and 16. I take that back. I'm sorry. The second just turned 16. The first will be 17 in March. They're driving.
Dude, that's a lot of hope, man.
You are in it, man. Well, yeah. You know what, Mr. Hart, I'll let you borrow this thing. Look at that dishwasher. It's got full, like, you know, big giant fridge, washer, dryer. I'll make sure I drop this off to you and you guys can take a little break.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I love it. If we could have five or six more, I would. But yeah. Let's just say there's a reason I'm a professional, expert in alcohol.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not surprised you're in the, you have a whiskey podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and not just a whiskey podcast, a huge whiskey podcast. So congrats to you, brother.
Well, thanks. I mean, let's speaking of huge, you guys, since the last time we've talked, you guys have done, you know, like 60,000 cases and are blowing through it. You're about to launch the second SKU or second offering. Let's jump into it. I tend to like to drink. I got my little palate cleanser here, a little beer. But I don't want to start with the cash strength because I want to hear all the details about it. So we'll get to this in a second. But talk to me about Chris, what's happened since we've last spoke.
What's left in that bottle?
About enough for a pour. I've got enough for a pour. We did the press junket thing that we did, that I'm not sure when that's going to air, but, I have tasted it. I have not tasted it since. And I specifically brought a beer because I was hoping to clear out any residual whiskey before I get to this. Cause the last time I had it, it was like whiskey sample, and that can kind of blow out your palate. Right. But I am so excited. I talked to Stephanie. She said she's going to send me some more. So sure. I'm excited. But let's talk about it. So the last time you guys were on, we poor little Irish here to get started. We talked about potential line extensions, and it came so much faster than I expected.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, buddy.
I was going to say something that we've always, you know, from the beginning, even when we had our, you know, our flagship, we knew we were going to be doing this. I think we sort of always planned this, right? This, we knew that within a year we would come out with another extension, whether it's cast strength did we know it was going to be cast strength, Ian, from the get-go? I don't remember.
Well, initially, you know, we were toying between cast strength and 8-year, but we've got to wait a while for our 8-year to get to that place that we need it to be. And cast strength, you know, obviously, you know this, Mr. Hart, you can have, like, our bourbon, like we discussed this last time, you can have an 80 proof bourbon that knocks people's socks off, that blows the door off of any new bourbon coming into the space from a volume standpoint, from a flavor profile standpoint. But you need that thing that, you know, we were so excited because our cask strength is this, but the truest form of this. And while it's not for everyone, because it does, you know, it's an incredibly high alcohol content, it is that thing that I think that bourbon lovers who are typically not prone to drink 80 proof bourbons are going to really be able to sink their teeth into. And on the international sort of, let's call it competition, you know, we have the opportunity to be in there with something that's not 80 proof, because as you know, in the competition space, 80 proof bourbons they're tough in that, you know, which is why we're so grateful how well we've actually done in that, receiving, you know, 93 point ratings and what have you. But this is basically our flagship, but it volleys between about 116 0.8 to 118 or 117.8. And it's, you know, it's the purest form. And so,
I mean, really one of the things that you said is that it's not for everyone. Let's just stop you right there, buddy. My hat's off to you. And I said this in the last interview, the 80 proof approach really brings people into the space. And we actually talked about this, look, we all remember our early years with Jack and Coke, and then you learn, you learn whiskey and maybe an ice cube and some water, then maybe just the water, and then maybe just neat at 80 proof, and then cast strength. I mean, it's a stepping process.
Right.
So it is for everyone, just maybe not at the current stage they're at. And you're absolutely right. It is very hard to win a competition with an 80 proof offering, because those tasters are the people who enjoy full flavor straight from the cask, higher proof offerings. And last time you were on, we actually suggested the name Casket Strength, which was a joke, which was a complete joke, but
yeah.
In my head, I thought you guys would do Bottled and Bond first because of the name, right? Mm-hmm. What made you jump straight to Cask Strength, which I'm happy you did, because now you're in my world. My world loves the Cask Strength.
I mean, Paul, you can, you either.
I don't know. I mean, the 100 proof is phenomenal. You know, it's, and we're so excited about it. It's not, you know, but I actually don't even have an answer. I'm not sure why we chose to do the cask prior to the bottled and bond. I think maybe because it was,
it was also a production thing.
Yeah, I was going to say it's available and it's delicious, and we wanted to do something special, you know, a limited release kind of, you know, just an exciting sort of offering that was the polar opposite of what we currently have. You know, I mean, people love our bourbon, but there's a total stigma with the proof, right? There's like this, you know, Basil Hayden has the same thing. It's like this like 80, you know, and so I think we just wanted to give people something different to, you know, perhaps bring in a different kind of bourbon drinker into the Brothers Bond fold.
Yeah. I mean, also too, you got to remember too, like bourbon is a really, it's complex. Literally the entire business of bourbon is complex. If the complexity of the spirit is any tangible metaphor for the complexity of the business of bourbon, then it rings true, which is you have your supply, you know, averaging out how much you can move within a certain span of time as bourbon comes of age. You make new fill bourbon, you've got 4 years and one day before it's ready. You blend 1 year old bourbon, you've got 3 years and one day before it's ready. So you've got to, you know, and think about the, you know, we have more bottled. So you've got to realize you've got in this like 100,000 case realm, which is a tremendous amount of liquid.
Big achievement.
You've got, this is our baby that's flying off the shelves and we that's bringing people into our brand. Our bottled and bond, and Paul and I obsess over this stuff. It's so good, but it's going to require, it's a larger offering. It's not as limited as this. And so, you know, there's so much of this flying off the shelves. To introduce 100 proof bottled and bond is going to fly off the shelves. And then what does that do to our, you know, we don't want to get into a space where we're out of bourbon. And this stuff right here is that, again, I go back to it. It's like the purest form. I mean, Paul and I sit and we sit like around the fire and we drink this stuff. And sometimes we look at each other and we just go, we're literally drinking bourbon right out of a barrel. You know, this stuff is strong, but it's so good and people are going to love it, which is why we're excited to do this now, you know, and we don't have to wait. And Bottled and Bond is going to be another baby. Like, I mean, not just because of the name, but like the actual juice. Special, man. Special.
Yeah, I mean, the looking at some of the hard numbers, the I think we kind of briefly covered this last time. You know, a lot of people are jumping in the tequila space, but the category that you guys jumped into and the way that you did, it's actually quite unique. I mean, you're talking about a $40 bottle of approachable bourbon. You know, of course it's tied to a celebrity, but it's above and beyond just another celebrity brand. You guys are doing obviously much more with it. But now you've got a second SKU, you know, you're throwing in a cask strength, and the reception has been overwhelmingly, I hate to say this way, but it's correct. It's like, this is exactly what you're supposed to do. Looking at hard numbers and some of the information, the category in 2019 grew 13%, and last year, or 2020, grew 30%, especially during the pandemic. Anyone who's got a brand right now is really starting. Now's the time to introduce yourself and your product to your audience. So, yeah. I mean, you guys are, you're doing it correct. So my hat's off to you for sure.
Thank you, brother. We're really great to hear that coming from you is crazy. And by the way, Paul and I have to pinch ourselves sometimes. I mean, it's not, as you know, it doesn't come easily. There's a reason that this is turning gray and that there's a lot of lines around my eyes now, but it's special. You know, even as we sit here and we're talking, like, look, we're three grown men. We're like, you know, we have companies, we have families, we have all this stuff, but we're sitting here in the morning hours smelling and talking about basically this art made from grains that grew from the American soil. Like, we get to do this as our jobs and share it with people who, like us, are coming home from long days on the job or after a long week and want to sit on a weekend, and they get to drink the bourbon that we produce, the bourbon that you produce. Like, it's really special, man. And as I'm sitting here, because I'm in the Fleetwood, so there's not.
All right, you got me hooked. I'm going to open it. I got to do it.
Right?
Keep going.
He romanticizes it so beautifully.
Yeah, like, my mouth starts watering. I'm like,
it's it doesn't even have to be romanticized. It's actually just sort of like a really amazing thing, right? And so I notice I do have a huge air purifier in here, but this is that when I'm in the Fleetwood like this, it's such a small space. Well, it's huge for our RV, but when I drink the cask strength in here, and sometimes when I take cask strength and we'll blend it too. I just like seeing where it goes. That, you know, if it goes from 118, I like seeing it at 115, at 112, at 110. I like to play around with it. But when you walk in here, man, it's like you smell it. You smell that, like, you smell like ripe banana. You smell walnut. You smell like
banana's warm, a good note on this.
Warm rye. Like almost like warm rye bread, but like sweet rye bread, right? Like vanilla, almost like a little subtle smoke. You smell that subtle smoke, Paul?
We actually, it's funny you mentioned the smoke thing, because on the nose, I get the banana, which almost translates to like a bubblegum note for me. Mm. You get that kind of juicy fruit sweetness, but the smoke is definitely on the palate. And one of the things that I think it was Mark Gillespie who was giving you a nice hard time at that press one we did, was talking about the spiciness. There's a ton of almost a tobacco note on the cask strength full body version.
That tobacco. So, by the way, I love Mark, man. I can't wait to sit with Mark, dude. We're going to crush an amazing meal with Mark. And
he was digging that cask strength, huh?
Well, there's nothing to complain about. I mean, this is exactly right. You know, when you come into the space, I think Ian mentioned the stigma around 80 proof, but then you put this in front of the snobs and they shut up. You know, and I love Mark. He's my favorite curmudgeon. We're Facebook friends. And that guy loves to shake his fist at the sky. I have so much respect for him. But you put a cask strength tobacco bomb in our face in the bourbon snob world. and it's, they're going to shut up. This is just, there's nothing to complain about here.
Yeah.
You know what? I was talking to Paul and I was talking to Tess, and Vincent also mentioned this, that our CEO, if you, so it's a, I know it's going to sound super crazy cerebral. Like we're all, I mean, if we're geeking out, we might as well geek out. We own a freaking bourbon company. It's our baby. If you, for me, I have a weird theory, which is the, so on the nose, that leather you smell, I have a feeling that the leather on the nose is what translates to tobacco on the palate.
On the palate.
There's something in that grain profile.
What, and I think we covered this in the episode that hasn't aired yet, but this is the same exact mash bill, just cast strength straight from the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly.
And what's this retail for?
Yes. How much is it? 780.
I think it's going to be $79.99.
Yeah.
Gosh, you taste that lingering rye spice on the back end, but it's lingering rye, but it's accompanied by this caramel, like natural caramel. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of nuts, man. Like
one of my favorite things is that empty glass smell.
Oh yeah.
I just transferred it over because you can really pick out the nose so much more clear once that alcohol has been removed from the equation.
That's a great trick.
Yeah.
And once it dries to the inside of that glass, it's just like banana bread and nutmeg. And I think you're right on that leather. That leather nose is what's translating to kind of a, it feels almost like the grains may have been slightly smoked almost. They may not have been, but there's just such a, I don't get the smokiness, the tobacco on the 80 proof, and it's so much more robust.
On the cast strength, you do. On the 80 proof, that is sort of that the fragrant, the profile on the nose that comes across more in like the baked banana bread realm. And so my theory is that it would sort of waft over and sort of cover that tobacco, because that tobacco just was not able to, or that leather is not able to really shine through. But now you're right, man. Look, that
it just smells so good. It's so you talk about it being in the air. It smells like I'm working, right? Like it's,
yeah, right.
It's, you walk in. Have you been drinking? Yeah, I'm working. Leave me alone.
Yeah, right. So, dude, let me tell you something. I had such an amazing when we were at MGP. We were with Sam Smeltzer, the master blender over there. And first of all, like, it's on my Instagram, but I have one other one that literally, like, you know, as a person, you go back and you think about things in your life, pictures, whatever. It's, you know, holding your child or on the beach with a parent or something when you're a kid. But there's a pinnacle image of me standing in a Rick house in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Paul was on his way in. And this photo is literally one of the coolest photos I've ever seen of myself, but just sitting there with our bourbon, standing and looking at our barrels, but a lot of our barrels, right? And seeing the numbers and knowing the barrel numbers and the batch numbers and the mash bill and all that stuff. But the smell, man, the smell of that, you know, all those things that come out of our, especially when you open our barrels, you know, and you get in there and you open that barrel, and you do get that smoke and you do get that that leather and all of these things literally just wafting out, and you're in this almost 100-year-old, you know, Rick house.
Yeah.
In Lawrenceburg, Indiana. And you get that same experience right here out of a glass than you would if you know, Sam is so sweet. He gives us his thief, you know, the beautiful, gorgeous copper thief. And you go in and you pull bourbon out of our barrels and you get this experience. And it's the same experience. As we're sitting here talking, I'm actually in my Fleetwood right now, and we're having the same sensorial experience as on the almost 100-year-old Rick House in Lawrenceburg, Indiana.
I got to say that, like, being at the at MGP and seeing the process, you know, was just so by the way, we recorded a really cool video. And what we got to put that out.
Yeah, I was just giving notes on it this morning. I love it.
No, it's great. We went and we recorded, you know, kind of the process of how we make our bourbon. And it was just for people, you know, who are new to bourbon to understand how it's all created and blended and distilled. And, you know, it's just, even just seeing everything, you know, it's just such a, it's such an incredible process. It really is.
Especially well, you gotta switch glasses. This empty glass is just crushing me.
Yeah, it's the best. And then as that alcohol evaporates off, you just have this dried. And you're right, it smells like the Rick House. The you know, for some reason, and I hate drawing this comparison because it's a negative one, but you walk into a barn, it smells like a barn. And it, and everyone can relate to that. Now just imagine how fantastic a Rick House smells. You smell literally the yeast, the bourbon, the corn, yeah. You smell the wood, you smell the charred oak. It's such a beautiful experience.
By the way, you also smell that dried fruit in here. I mean, like picking up like a bag of dried fruit that your grandma would have had.
Yeah. It's got a little bit of a, like an almost old, like dehydrated strawberries.
Yeah. Like a sack, you know, like when I grew up, we had all burlap, called them gunny sacks. But yeah, Paul, you know, that video was really, really funny. And fun to do. We do talk about the process and how important it is. And along the way, they do take a great deal of time to make a lot of fun of me in the video, which is awesome.
You know, can't help ourselves.
Yeah, I know. I just get really geeky about this shit. And so, you know, go ahead.
I was going to say we wanted to, because it's an educational video to a degree, but we also wanted to like entertain. So we just, you know, there's like moments of levity and kind of silliness, which, you know, otherwise it just becomes, you know, like way too informative, which for us is great, but, you know, short attention spans these days, especially. For
I know
the,
the cast strength's coming out. Let's get to some of the details. Where is it going to be as available as the 80 proof? Is it going to be limited only?
It's for now, I got to say, it's incredibly limited.
Very limited, yeah.
We can only do a run of 10,000 bottles for now, which is actually what we launched our first pre-sale on Reserve Bar for our bourbon initially for our 80 proof.
Yeah.
Was a 10,000 bottle release. So this is initially 10,000 bottles, which we're incredibly proud of. We just wish we had double, triple, quadruple that, which we'll get to that. I mean, you know how it goes. You know how it goes, Mr. Hart.
Liquid is scarce right now. Liquid bourbon is booming.
Not only that liquid is obviously scarce, but as I went into the complexities of actually getting into the bourbon business, and I say this humbly because I'm so blown away that Paul and myself and our team are able to pull this off. But you know this as well as I do, man. You're getting into like the millions and millions of dollars that this costs to produce and put together, you know? And so we've got to stay true to our North Star and bringing, you know, building our brand and allowing this to percolate and get people excited. And as we come about of age, literally, it's like, by the way, Paul, we should coin this as a joke because I know people are going to be really not happy that it's a small release, but it's kind of a coming of age story. Literally, the bourbon has to come to age. as well as we do as a company. So it's a really a nice comparison and really quite a tangible metaphor for coming of age, you know?
So Reserve Bar then is going to get all of the 10,000 bottles for the cash strength?
Yes. Well,
no, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how it's going to, how that works,
but they're getting a fair chunk of it.
We'll get, because it makes it so readily available.
Yeah. And that way, because it's such a limited release, virtually everyone in the country has, who wants one can get one, as long, you know, it's first come, first serve. I think some retailers will have it as well, but again, no,
I'm really asking for myself. I want to know how I can get a bottle.
Reserve
like,
Bar.
When reserve it's Reserve bar. You got it.
Yeah. Reserve Bar. Yeah. I mean, it's like.
And then a limited amount of, you know, there's a handful of markets that are also going to get it, I think, in person, but primarily Reserve Bar. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that you guys have social media accounts, but I don't know how active you are on social media. I know you're busy, but did you guys know that I think you guys may be the actual top spirits account tied to celebrities, even over The Rock? Did you guys know that?
Well, actually, we're the we're the highest as far as Instagram is concerned. We're the most followed alcohol brand in the world, not just celebrity, but just period.
Look how humbly you said that.
I know. Well, but you know, it's something that we worked really hard to, you know, what we wanted. Look, like the name Brothers Bond is a nod to me and Ian. And I know we've said this to you before, but like, it's really like we wanted to create a community, you know, and it's like a bond between people. And, you know, we're having a bond now. We're drinking, you know, a cask strength in the morning, you know. But so for us, we wanted to like create this excitement about Brothers Bond and not just about, you know, Ian or myself. And so we were able to drive interest to the Brothers Bond page, which is really exciting for us, you know, as opposed to just like upping, you know, our own personal accounts, which is really not what this is about.
Sure.
Well, yeah. Sorry, go ahead, buddy.
No, go ahead.
No. I was just going to add to what Paul was saying. What you were going to say is much more important.
Well, I was going to pivot a little bit. I was going to ask there's got to be something that you two disagree on with the brand. Is there hope? Does Paul have hopes for other spirits that like, I'm curious as to, I know like when the name came about, you guys are like literally texting each other. What about this? What about that? What about this? But
Brothers Bond there, mouthwash.
Yeah. is there something that like, not even a disagreement, but is there something that Ian or Paul would like to do, aspirations to specifically tied to Brothers Bond, besides a Bald and Bond, besides a cash strength? What about finishes? What about
not really? We talk about it so openly and we're all in the same wheelhouse. Like, okay, so finishes, right? Finishing is something that's pretty special and pretty cool. And Paul and I sit and we sit with our team and we rack our brain, like, from a flavor perspective, from a sustainability perspective, like what are the cool things that we can do to finish off some of these bourbons and actually really start playing around, which now getting into that fun R&D space is really special for us. Right. So
yeah, I also think like, you know, we don't want to go to any other spirit. We are bourbon. Cheers, guys. Through and through. We're not, you know, going to suddenly be Brothers Bond tequila. That's
Polish vodka.
Hello.
I'll tell you what I was thinking. I think the most likely candidate, which I think would be great for you guys, is a rye whiskey.
Rye's great.
Well, we're exploring and, you know,
The rye we're exploring is incredibly exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing all that.
Got a huge market, but I'll tell you.
Well, it is and it isn't, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of bartenders love rye and cocktails. And, you know, I mean, I have friends that drink, they prefer rye, you know, frankly. So, I think it is a big market, actually. But right now, it's a matter of like, prioritizing. Do you go? I mean, I think we go for the age statements and the bottled and bonds. And, you know, I just think that's the priority right now. And then I think rye is probably
cast strength, bottled and bond, 8-year or not in that order yet. Cast Strength first for sure.
That is the priority for sure. That needs to be a priority for sure.
And the bottled and bond, man, I got to tell you, the 100 proof version of it's this amazing. Bourbon is like, it's off the chain, man. And I think people would genuinely enjoy that. Like Paul and I sit sometimes in our studio with just a big, you know, you don't even need the ice, but we sit with that big clump of ice and we pour our bottle, our 100 proof, our bottle and bond, and we sit there and you really, you go through it so quickly. Like there's almost no time for dilution because it's really a pour is really just a number of sips and it just goes, you know? But I got to be honest with you, man, the 8-year version of this bourbon is also just spectacular.
So who do I need to pester, Beth or Stephanie? I need to see this 8-year.
That would be me. That would be me. You know, it's different, obviously. 8 summers in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. It's just such a great year, and it's so symbolic for us. The 8, you know, is obviously 8 is the symbol of infinity. And you know, and if you turn it sideways, kind of, it's like two entities that are constantly in a loop with one another. It's very symbolic of the brothers. But also too, you know, it's 1 year on in a barrel for every year that we were on air together. And that's meaningful to us, man, you know? And so that is a major priority as well. And then the rye, you know, we want to develop it in a way that which is bulletproof, you know, and we've had a lot of big, deep and amazing conversations, and Vincent Hanna was right, you know, our CEO really sort of wanted to make and mandated, and it makes sense that because this DNA, the DNA of this is so powerful, that in the cat, you know, this cast strength, if you look at the purest form of it, the DNA of this bourbon is really special. So anything that stems off of this has to have the same DNA. And our rye is no exception. Our rye really presents the DNA of this bourbon, but in a rye form. And man, you know, I really think people are going to love it. And it's, you know, it's down the line a bit, but I just want, you know, just so you know, obviously we're laser focused, but we leave no stone unturned. We are never not exploring and innovating. And so
one thing that like we're definitely, you know, we know that's such a huge market, but at the same time, we are not sure that it's exactly our brand would be like the RTD world where, you know, you put some, you know, you make like a classy, you know, Brothers Bond and, you know, so-and-so. And that's a very interesting world. We're not quite there yet. And I'm not sure that we will be. I don't know, but it's
super high quality though, but like crazy. Yeah. Like
exactly
completely like, uncut, no chemicals, no preservatives, not a long shelf life. You know, needs
and
to
that's something like it's so far down, but like that's something that if there's a way to create a level of real authenticity and high quality, then maybe we would go that route. But that's a tricky one, you know.
Yeah. The RTD space is very tricky. You want to you want to do something, but by and large, a lot of that space is not going to be the best quality ingredients. No.
Right.
So I'm with you there. It sounds like you guys have actually made further progress in your rye than maybe one might've suspected. Can I ask, you know, so we released Prideful Goat Rye in December. That was okay. I didn't know if you got that.
I was waiting to open it with you, man.
What's that?
I was waiting to open it with you.
So that's a 95.5 rye from the same place, MGP. One of the things that set you guys apart from us, I went through and I tasted through 287 barrels with our head distiller. We earmarked the ones we thought were the best for single barrels. We did all these things, but we didn't blend mash bills. You guys actually took, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the original Brothers Bond product isn't just... We're not just sourcing from Indiana. We're taking what they've made and we're creating our own recipe, blending things together. Do you, if you were to create a rye, if you've already decided on that mash bill, is it the similar thing where you've kind of blended some things?
We have, and but keeping true to real rye of the highest proportions, you know, look, man, it's interesting. If you look at a place like MGP, been making whiskey since 1847, it's another thing to go in to MGP and with them make your own bourbon, right? Like create a bourbon and mash bills and barrel, you know, it's like, it's amazing to see it come together and know that this is actually, it was obviously made there, but created, this is yours. You know, we built it together. Obviously they're the geniuses and they have the guys with the masks and everything with the yeast and everything. I don't do that, but we are there for every step. And so when you talk about a rye, which by the way, I can't wait to taste this, but when you talk about a rye, the idea is, and now I'm giving away some of our secrets, but creating a rye that is not only respectable, but that is sought after, but that maintains, like I said, the DNA of this exact bourbon. And that has not been an easy feat. And Paul, we're 18 months in to exploring rye, 18 months of development. That's insane. It's an insanely tedious process. And we've really come a long way, and we're excited. That's, you know,
I did an interview with this gentleman that's Amazon Prime's got a new show coming out called Reacher with Alan Richson.
Yep.
And one of the things that caught me off guard about the show was that there were moments, these action sequences that didn't have to go so hard. They didn't have to make that much effort for it to look so great, for it to be shot as well as it was. They could have just done some shaky camera stuff and boom, you've got an action sequence. It's the exact same thing with you guys. You guys could have just white labeled this and just one mash bill, send it to us, we're good. It seems like either the pandemic has locked you in so much, it's like, all right, but you guys have gone above and beyond in experimenting and blending and like well beyond, okay, if we're going to source, that's fine. Like I put a lot of effort in Prideful Goat.
Hell yeah.
But
it's gorgeous.
But I didn't blend mash bills. And I, you know, like it sounds like you guys are really, really giving it your go of everything, like your whole heart and soul into just finding what works best.
Yeah. I mean, Ian and I have the same palate. Interestingly enough, we both like the same type of bourbon. And I remember when we got our blends, our mash bills, we didn't want to settle because they weren't perfect, right? Like it just wasn't exactly what we wanted. And so, it became this like project, right? The blending
session.
Yeah, obsession. And that's when I called Ian the mad scientist with his graduated measuring cylinders and all this. Like, I mean, it was like nuts, right? And so when we finally got that blend, it was like this eureka moment. And then, you know, it makes our job a hell of a lot easier when we're selling this and we're doing podcasts, we're doing interviews or whatever, because it does feel very personal as opposed to, well, MGP gave this to us and we slapped our names on the
right.
Well, also too, man, you know, the other thing to add to that, and I think anybody watching this or listening to this, you could actually, in any type of art, you know, it's about discipline. And I've been trying to teach my Mr. Hart, you've got teenagers, so you know, you've done this now 10,000 times, 100 million times throughout the last decade plus, but I'm trying to teach my daughter about discipline. And when you want a result or an outcome of something, it takes time and effort and concentration and patience and respect. You know, Rembrandt, I mean, I'm not trying to make like funny, ridiculous analogies, but I'm saying the greatest artists in the world were disciplined artists, you know? And so it's the action of doing and redoing and redoing and redoing that actually gives you a result that, like Paul just said, is meaningful and something that's makes you full of pride, where you literally can't wait to wake up the next morning to try that creation. And that is, that's an experience that's really special. And yeah, you know, you made a joke about the pandemic, and it's true that the pandemic has kept a lot of people inside, but you know what, man, we were this way before the pandemic hit. We were already in this mode of obsessive blending and R&D development. Obsessive. So we're hoping, and you know, we're so grateful to be able to sit here and talk to you about this, but I'll tell you, when you sit and you get to talk about going and tasting 287 barrels, you talk about the amount of time and energy and work and understanding. And, you know, one of the other trippy things is too, you know, from this business is when you think about building, you know, when you think about how it goes with Newfill, you know, listen, it's one thing to purchase 3, 2, and 1 year old bourbon from a distillery. It's another way to throw the gauntlet down and build out your own Newfill barrels to the tune of tremendous amounts of capital. And you know, like, hey, you know, this bourbon's being made here for 150 years or whatever it is, you know, and so these are all great. But then you sit and you go, what if something happens to our barrels? Wait, was it perfect? Is it perfect? You know, and it's that, you know, you've got to sort of abdicate that throne of being able to just monitor. You've got to wait 12 months and then you can start tasting that barrel and those barrels, another 24 months, you know, or another 12 months or 24 months. And you, then it starts to become what you think it is. And you can start to detail in your brain what barrels are really shining. But man, it's like, you have to use a lot of patience and a lot of discipline. And it's been unbelievable because Paul and I, being on a TV show for 8 years, our whole careers, but being on a TV show for 8 years, you have to do that same thing. Patience, discipline, and art and respect for the process. Same thing, different medium.
Have you guys, so I was talking to Beth about you guys. So from the very beginning, you've talked about sustainability, right? On top of it being a massive art form, on top of everything you love about it, like you genuinely care about your product. You also just had this big event in Austin that donated to sustainability. And my question is this: sustainability, yes, but have you ever thought about, and this might be something to consider that I think you guys would blow out of the water, is a single barrel program that could be for the charity, right? I think it's called Kiss the Ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys just donated, was it $50,000 to the, walk me through what happened in Austin and why my invite did not come in the mail. And, and then, yeah, I think it would be great. Cause, after Kentucky got hit with these tornadoes about a month ago, all of these barrel programs were developed to raise capital for charity. And I think if there was an actual single barrel Brothers Bond bottle for charity, you would raise $100,000.
The question is, how do you do single barrel when our bourbon is a combination of multiple mash bills, right? So it's tough though, right? Because we'd have to then age it. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we just had this call yesterday because the barrel program, and I agree with you. I do agree that a barrel program is key. And so obviously nationally, we're trying to build out that barrel program. It's going to go one of two ways, or actually maybe both ways. Barrel programs are incredibly important. And I'll get to the Kiss the Ground side of it. Barrel programs are incredibly important. So what we're doing now, and again, it takes 3-6 months to run these barrels through. If we're combining three mash bills, three grains to get 1 4-grain, for us to do our barrel programs, we've got to do one of two things. And this is what we're doing right now in the R&D stage. You've got three barrels of mash bills. So if you're taking our blend, We're putting them into three barrels, 30, 60, 90, and 180 days, right? Just seeing where our finish happens and what's going to be the best mash bill barrel that really brings out that amazing flavor. And then Paul and I were also talking too, is the finish side of it, right? If you could do for barrel programs an amazing finish side, because you know, you realize we're in California, man.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go.
We have access to, you know, Paul and I are huge wine lovers. And we have access to the greatest Cabernet, Zinfandel, you know, barrels ever. And so the next step is really looking at what this finish program would be, where you have a barrel program that is, because look, we secretly are so obsessed with Lincoln Henderson and what he's done in his career. And, you know, if you look at like an Angel's Envy, it is the penultimate expression of going outside the lines, the boundaries, right, of bourbon. With that finished of those Ruby port casks. So those barrel programs right now are in full stage development, and we're racking our brain to make sure, again, with uncompromising quality, that it's something people literally can't get enough of. And I agree with you. So the kiss the ground side of it, it's not even about sustainability. It's regeneration, right? It's that regenerative side that we are throwing down the gauntlet on, and kiss the ground is that you know, obviously, listen, kiss the ground. It's a new organization. Our film last year, you know, we set out to reach 1 billion people in a year, and we reached 1 billion people, but we are not the first. And there have been scientists and farmers in this for 30 years. So we want to highlight and bring them in and elevate them as well. And the work they've been doing that's inspired us. So that money and a lot of more money that will be going to this is going into regeneration. And that is the big thing, right? You think about this, Christopher, you're thinking about, you mentioned the tornadoes. Between Eastern Kentucky and the I-35 corridor, you know, it like, Kansas, think about the amount of the ability to build literally the single largest carbon capture food economy in the world. You can do it from the east and southeast all the way to the Midwest to the west. This country has the ability to build the single largest carbon capture food economy on the planet. And with Kiss the Ground and with a ton of organizations, we're going to do it. And so the new movie, the follow-up to Kiss the Ground, comes out next year. And the movie's in the can. We're waiting on a couple of big, pretty high-level interviews. And we're basically just going to be Josh and Rebecca Tickell have been working their asses off. But we're just basically in post. And it'll launch next year, most likely Sundance. But it's basically Kiss the Ground on steroids, if you can imagine that. And so Brothers Bond, you know, is no exception to that. We want to lead the charge. And with Kiss the Ground, we have the ability to do that. And it's not just about creating awareness. It's about creating action and then elevating and celebrating those, all of those farmers and farms and companies that are switching to regeneration. And, you know, look, man, bourbon business is a big business. A lot of carbon capture that can happen with corn, wheat, barley, and rye. You know, and we're excited to explore it. And then also too, going into the viticulture side of it, we talk about finishing and barrels. There are a tremendous amount of winemakers in California, Oregon, Washington, all over that are starting to practice regenerative practices on their farms and in their vineyards. And again, you know, we want to elevate those companies and those brands and be a part of it. So yeah, there are companies now that are using regenerative grain in their whiskeys, which is awesome. And that's where it needs to go. We're just going to do it on an enormous scale, you know, and it takes a while to get there. And so that's our North Star. And it's all happening, man. It's all happening.
So the barrel program's coming. Eventually, ideally. And then the wine finishes are also on the agenda, the rye on the agenda. Yep. So it sounds like you guys have the next 3 to 5 years fully planned out.
Pretty much is you're that's it, right on the target. The next 36 to 60 months are just pedals to the metal.
The single barrel thing, I'm eager to see how this plays out for the first one, because I think that an actual special edition single barrel SKU handpicked by Paul and Ian would be gangbusters. I think that would be very well received, especially at Cash Strength.
Yeah. The amount of people that ask about barrel programs, I mean, it's like every day. So it's something that we talk about constantly. We're trying to figure it out as best as we can, for sure.
The there's a company out of Scotland called Compass Box that did something similar. To answer your question initially, you asked, well, how would you do a single barrel program with two different mash bills? That means that they were separate barrels. You'd bring them together somehow. Compass Box did what they call the marrying cask program. And I think Angel's Envy did something similar as well, where it was like a blend that went into a barrel and finished for a couple of months.
Right.
And then you could handpick that barrel.
That's exactly what we're talking about doing.
Yeah.
That's what we're working on. Cause the thing about it is that you really want to understand where you're getting, right? So you want to blend those, barrel that bourbon, and then we obsessively check it 30, 60, 90, 180 days, really seeing where you're getting that, the best expression and optimization or the best expression and best profile out of that alchemy, you know?
Yeah. And then hand pick.
How often are you guys making trips out there to visit your barrels? And are you earmarking anything that in particular is just blowing you away? Are you saving anything aside?
So we are saving a bunch of stuff aside, because we do have, our barrel and our barrel numbers are obviously we monitor them very closely. And so one of the things that we've been really focused on, and especially for new fill, is storage, movement, storage, wear, temperatures, elevation, you know, all this stuff plays into a lot of it. You know, there are 8 floors in those rick houses, and obviously the higher you go up, the, you know, particularly in that top two floors, is a lot warmer. It's very different. And so geeking out a ton, you know, when you're weighing your barrels, as opposed to just dumping them, when you're weighing your barrels to understand exactly what's in there, you know, we get to play around with, if you're dumping barrels that you've stored higher up for 2 summers, there's a much greater angel share. You've got a much deeper concentration of that bourbon. And so knowing those barrel numbers and being able to really sample them, taste them, test them, and know, wow, okay, the Angels got a lot of this share. They're hammered up there. This isn't going to really be great for our bottom line, but this blended with this is exquisite. And it really, you know, it's keeping the consistency, but really maintaining exquisite profiles of flavor. I mean, there's just so much that goes into it. You know what I mean? Like it's a never ending cycle of science and alchemy.
I've interviewed, and this is, you know, your last compliment, I promise. I've interviewed a lot of people that have their own brand. They want to start a brand. They say that they're whiskey people. I can count on one finger how many people know how often that the upper floors tend to yield a higher angel share, mm-hmm, with a more concentrated result. Like it is very apparent that this is not just a celebrity brand. I say it again, man, my hat's off to both of you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
I'm so thankful, man. I mean, that's why my wife just said this to me the other day. I was holding my daughter. She was incredibly sick. I haven't slept. Actually, Paul, I did it last night. First night in my own bed, I got to sleep. I actually slept through the night. I slept 6 hours straight. Christopher, I haven't slept more than, well, the first week was every 45 minutes I was up, but I haven't slept more than 2 hours in a row. And tonight or yesterday would have made 16 days because my daughter was so sick. So you know how that, what that does.
It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking.
She's a toddler, right? Like
she's 4.5, but
yeah,
but you know what that does to your brain and your body and you know, but I was holding her the other day and I was actually on the phone on a call with Vincent and Paul. And we were talking about all of our barrel. We're talking about all of our barrel program stuff. And it's very similar to what Paul and I get to produce stuff and we get to direct stuff. And we were producers on Vampire Diaries. And we produced our own shows and our own stuff. When you hear an actor or producer or director talking about, or a banker or a real estate person or CEO, whoever, talking about something they're passionate about, it's a very specific lexicon, right? And it's an impassioned lexicon with a tremendous amount of experience behind it. And my wife was sitting there, I was holding my daughter and we're on this call and I hung up and I just went, wow, that was inspiring. My wife looked at me and she goes, you've actually found your thing. Found the one thing that
your raison d'etre, your reason for life.
You know, obviously, you know the film and television business, but this is something that it's never ending, but it's always breathing and growing and moving. You know, when Paul and I we're all racking our brains, looking at barrels that are literally on the 8th floor of a rick house, blending it with barrels that are on the floor of the 4th floor of a rick house and playing with these dimensions. This is like art, science, you know, I hate to say it, but like the fact that we get to do this is we're the luckiest people in the fucking world, world to be able to do this. You know what
you
I mean?
You can say fuck. It's okay.
Yeah, I forgot. It's a family show.
Paul, no, I mean, you're right. I try to talk to my daughters, especially at this age, because I remember at their age, I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, people always talk about firefighters or cops or doctors. But at my daughter's age, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And then, you know, I'm dating this girl and I buy a bottle of whiskey to win over her father. And it worked. And then I get to marry that woman and she's my wife. And it slowly becomes our whole life, our career. I own a few brands. I work at a distillery. And all of a sudden you've got this, it's everything. It's your passion. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's great that you guys, you're celebrities, you've got businesses, you've got things that you guys are passionate about. But on top of what you're passionate about, this is actually something that you are so fully ingrained in that it's fun. Like, you know, it's bonding, no pun intended. But, you know, it's a chance to learn something new and see the art being made. And of course, it yields a tasty product.
Right. And I think for anyone,
he's not wearing any pants for those watching.
Yeah, right. Here it is. Remember when the pandemic first hit? You had all those funny Instagram photos that coworkers were sending to their, like, the CEO of the company is, you know, like sitting on his toilet, but there was a reflection of something and like
all these people who didn't realize their cameras were on. Yeah.
There were some bad ones.
But you know, man, like for anyone watching this or listening to this, I'm sure they're all, first of all, probably all sleeping. But secondly, it's that thing that I think that this pandemic has taught us all, which is, so we're all looking for, and I think we might've spoken about this on the last one, but we're all looking for this thing called purpose, right? My mom and I talk a lot about this because we're talking to our daughter about it a lot. Purpose is a very interesting thing because it's something, purpose and balance really are what we're always looking for. And not to sound too cerebral about it again, but purpose is really meaningful. It's what drives us once we find it or we think we found it. But, dude, there's no equation for finding purpose. How do you do it? Do you spin your wheels searching around every corner for 60 years of your life and then maybe one day find it? And when I was in my days at ISF, we spent a lot of time, energy, and money developing a lot of youth programs, because that was my big thing, was youth, right? The greatest untapped natural resource in the world are our young people, which is what we need to invest in. And so we found a solution and a formula for purpose. And what we realized was the way you find purpose in life, whether you're 13, 31, or 91, is you find purpose when you marry skill with passion. When you marry skill with passion, you actually find your purpose. So I always say to people, like, what am I going to do with my life? Say, find what you're good at and find what you love and try and bring them together. And it's exactly what you just said. And it's exactly what Paul and I got to do, which is find something you love and find something you're good at. And when we were getting into this bourbon game, probably much like you, you didn't know you were actually good at bourbon. Paul and I didn't know we were actually really good at bourbon until we blended something. And one of the greatest master blenders in the world basically said to us, guys, you don't have degrees. You don't have anything that gives you this title, but I will tell you, you are whiskey men. You are master blenders. You have what it takes. You have the palate. Go with it. Don't let anyone tell you any differently. I'm one of the best in the world at what I do. And I'm telling you right now, you guys are master blenders. Go with it. And so that's purpose, man. And then you bring in the regenerative side of it and the other side of what we had, which is kiss the ground. And then the celebrity side, which Paul and I try not to talk about, but Paul and I worked our asses off on a television show to build up a global audience that is very substantial and impactful. These are things of purpose. And so this pandemic has taught us, like, whoa, dude, I don't have to grind every day and getting on the subway and making that 2-hour trek to work and snow and ice and sleep. I got to find what I love. What is it that drives me? Which is why I'm in this, you know, Fleetwood. So many people sold houses and did all these things and bought these things to get on the road with their families because they realized, like, man, this life is not long. You know, I'm in my 40s, right? So technically, you mean systematically or number wise, I'm like halfway through this life cycle. Let's enjoy this. So the fact that I get to do this with my little brother and guys like you, we are stoked. And I'm telling you, man, we will leave no stone unturned. And we will continue to innovate to build flavor profiles that are hopefully unmatched or something that just inspires people, like what Lincoln Henderson set out to do.
Something that deserves respect.
Hopefully.
Let me hit you with a couple. Oh, there we go. Let me hit you with a couple of fast questions.
And tell me.
I've got one silly, totally ridiculous question that I'm curious about. What you're drinking is our rye that we released. We released it in December. It is a blend of about 40 barrels.
Wow.
It's a very small batch. And it'll be in 12 states this year. So we're you know, how many states are you guys in now?
27.
All right. Well, don't rub it in. But yeah, so that's our just 95% rye, 5% malted barley. A blend of small barrels, and we left it cask strength. Our audience, I like the approachable approach, not to be redundant.
Yeah,
but I like a big meaty punch in the face with a nice bold whiskey. So, big fan of rye, obviously. Mm. So 27 states. What's the plan for 2022? Are we expecting more states this year? Are we expecting international?
Yes to both.
Both.
Mm. We're moving in the international zone. We're not going to say where exactly yet, but we are in pretty deep conversations with a few specific countries.
All right. Okay.
It's global. It will be on all 50 states. We will have all 50 states done.
In 2022?
Yep. Wow. Meaty. You're right. Punchy. Ton of caramel on there though, but
yeah, they
MGP's, high rye.
Yeah, very high rye. MGP is known for a dill pickle note and a bubblegum note, and to me, I get nothing but bubblegum. I love it.
It's bubblegum.
we sent a package out to both of you based on the last addresses from the interviews before. So I'm sure
I got the original Prideful Goat. I thought I didn't realize there was a rye. That I didn't get that one yet.
I will make sure it's taken care of. Krista, my assistant off camera here, she'll make sure it gets right out.
He's sitting somewhere, so I'm kind of all over the place. So
no worries. So all 50 states in 2022, that's the plan?
All 50 states. There is a major European play specifically I can't go into because all those contra, you know, all that stuff's being done. And a play in Asia, which is a big deal. And so, you know, once you break it down, though, and you're looking at everything from not just Asia, but Southeast Asia.
It's a very big market. It's a very big market for Asia in particular. They love American whiskey so much.
It's huge.
That if you're ever there, Japan, Southeast Asia, oftentimes you can find a lot of rare dusty bottles of Old Wild Turkey, stuff from the 90s. It's a huge market for American bourbon. I mean, Pabst Blue Ribbon, you know, Pabst Blue Ribbon, it's like a cheap beer. Sure. They sell it in Japan for $45 a bottle.
Wow.
Per 12 ounce bottle.
Easy, buddy. I'm a poor kid from Louisiana. Pabst Blue Ribbon. was in my baby bottle with a nipple.
Yeah. That'd be $100 in Japan.
Wow.
Isn't it wild?
Yeah. So it's a great play. Exportable. Whoever your team is working on that, Asia's a great market.
Yeah. It's just because it's not exported there. So it's like it's a rare commodity. Is that what it is? Yeah.
If you get a chance, as soon as we hang up, go ahead and Google Japanese Pabst Blue Ribbon. They put it in a very decorative bottle. It's not just a shitty can, pardon my French, but it's in a very decorative bottle, and it's about $50 American per
like
can.
It's like a kitschy American novelty in a sense.
Yeah.
It's basically like Hello Kitty on steroids, but with alcohol.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah.
That's how I describe you, Ian.
Oh, I'm sure, buddy. I'm sure.
Hello Kitty on steroids.
My niece was obsessed with Hello Kitty when she was a little one, and my niece and my nephew, I was there when they were born, and like I, you know, like helped. Right there in my babies. She was obsessed with Hello Kitty, and I never wanted to be that uncle that would just buy my niece or nephew whatever they wanted. Man, I searched high and low for that Hello Kitty shit and ended up paying through my nose for that stuff. And so it is that interesting. It's just what's valuable. It's like a house, right? An appraisal means jack shit unless it's worth what someone's willing to pay for it.
Sure.
So a can of PBR, you know, that, you know, Paul could get crush on his head and then college kids and on Instagram, you know?
Now we're getting into crypto territory, right? Like things are worth what people will pay for them, period.
Right.
So,
Oh my God. The metaverse. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to recap a couple of highlights here. So we're planning on all 50 states and international in 2022. The cast strength comes out when?
May.
And you can, for those listening, can get it on Reserve Bar.
Yep.
Expecting about a 79 or a 70?
$79.99
price tag. We've got plans for both the barrel program, finishes, a rye, maybe a wine after all this wine talk. I think a brother's bar.
Not so fast.
Not so fast. Yeah.
No way, man.
All right.
And bottled and bond. You know, these are the big priorities coming down the pipeline, literally the innovation pipeline. I say that willingly as a joke, but like, first of all, dude, hold on 1 second. Let's back up for a second. This nose.
You know, seal of approval. Is that what I'm getting?
It's so yummy.
I hate to say it, guys, but I hear it's got a lot of bite.
It does, right? But, you know, it's interesting on this nose.
It just hangs up immediately.
Yeah. Sorry, bad connection, Claire. Yeah.
But you do really get, it's hard to get caramel on a nose, but you're getting this, like, dense sweetness that's not really floral. It's more like, it's almost like,
It makes me think of Juicy Fruit. You remember Juicy Fruit gum?
Oh yeah. I used to love that shit.
Yeah. It's such a savory sweetness to it. You know, I feel so bad. Paul's over here on dry January. I need to see.
Man, I'm having a great time with my cast strength. Don't worry about it. All good.
It's like if you covered a field of wheat and honey and then processed it.
Oh, great idea, by the way. Talk about innovation.
Yeah.
We're planning on launching we're working with a local honeybee farm to throw some local honey into a barrel, let it soak into the wood for a few months, and then throw in our whiskey into it. I think a Brothers Bond honey would be not to sling mud at any other brands, but don't go with a honey flavored whiskey. But if you were to take actual sustainable honey,
from barrels,
it would be gangbusters. I'm telling you,
you need to do it. You need to have a, you need the proper goat to have some honey barrels. You know, my wife and I, we're, Paul's going to laugh his ass off. We're about to rescue. Well, I think we're rescuing two goats, but they're both pregnant with two kids. So I guess that's six goats. So we're going to have some really prideful goats. A lot of goats.
Nice. That was worse than my bite joke. Well, listen, thanks so much, guys. I can't thank you both enough for coming on. I know you're busy. Giving up an hour is a lot of time. I appreciate it. I look forward to what is inevitably a worse interview with Mark. And and I look forward to your success, guys. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you, brother.
Thanks for having us.
It's such a pleasure for us to be here and an honor. So to you.
Cheers. Absolutely.
To everyone listening and watching, probably sleeping, we appreciate you. And this is it's a very special thing for all of us to get to do this and come together over a sip of bourbon. So thank you,
brother. Absolutely. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, everybody.
Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.